for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Monday, June the 13th, 2022. Adam Pfeiffer, Tyler Lochner with you as always. Kicking off this week, our team previews. Last week and the weeks before, we did the positional previews, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And this week, we start breaking down all 32 teams. And we're going to start with the NFC West. And Tyler, what better way to start than with the Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams? How's it going?
Good. I like that we're getting into this. You asked me yesterday, hey, who should we start with? I said the Rams. Let's go, man. Tons of fantasy goodness there. And I know one player in particular that I'm sure you're going to talk a lot about. Saw a tweet last night. So let's get into it.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about the Rams, obviously, and a little bit of turnover. But again, the motto for this Rams team has really been just run it back. And they have been one of the teams that we've seen that's like, okay, maybe the salary cap really is a myth. I mean, we just saw last week.
I know.
They give Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald pretty large extensions. It's insane. You just won the Super Bowl and there's no reason they can't get back there this year.
And it happens 1 year after the Bucks retained all, what was it, like all 22 of their starters?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. So yeah, these positional preview or team previews we're going to be doing, we're going to have the entire NFC West this week and then we'll probably go the rest of the NFC and then the AFC. So these will be really fun. And we've talked a lot about a lot of these players we're going to talk about in different episodes, but we have to break down the entire team from a fantasy, not the entire team, but the Rams, I thought would be, why not start with the team that just won the Super Bowl? So let's start there. The Rams head coach still by Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford. I mean, we saw the last two seasons, we've seen what? The last couple seasons, we've seen high-end borderline or elite quarterbacks. Obviously, Brady's elite. I think Stafford's pretty much elite. Go to new teams and immediately help teams win the Super Bowl. So Stafford, I mean, coming off a fantastic season, where do you kind of slide him in terms of rankings at fantasy quarterback? Because unlike a lot of the other quarterbacks around him, he doesn't offer much rushing, which hurts his upside and his floor. But like we saw the immediate connection he had with Cooper Kupp. We've seen how good this offense is going to be. And, in terms of passing yards and passing touchdowns, like he's just really like he was always, even when he was with the Lions, right? He was just always very, 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 very rock solid. But
yeah,
even more upside potentially now because the offense is much better. He obviously had Calvin Johnson at a point, but like the pass catchers he has at his disposal, like the offense just is tailor-made for him, and he was great in year one.
Yeah, so right now I have Stafford as my QB 11. So he's among the last quarterbacks that I would draft expecting him to be my every week starter. So he's, in that last tier before I then get into streamer territory. So I don't have a problem drafting Stafford. Like you said, he's been rock solid mostly throughout his career. Too inconsistent for me to be considered, elite, but maybe that's changing in with the Rams. He was good last year, not quite as inconsistent as we've seen, but he's still a player that I think you can draft and feel comfortable drafting. He had over 5,000 air yards last season. The only players that had more were Brady and Josh Allen. And he had eight deep pass touchdowns last year, which ranked 1, 2, 3, tied for fourth in the NFL. So a big play threat at quarterback as well, especially with Allen Robinson now there, and maybe Odell Beckham comes back. Cam Akers is supposedly going to be healthy the whole year. And then just having Cooper Kupp is such a mismatch nightmare. I know we'll talk a little bit more about him, but the bottom line is Stafford has really great weapons. He's in the Sean McVay offense. So I do have him as my QB 11. Where do you have him?
Yeah, he's a little bit higher for me just because like he's in that range of like for me after obviously well after Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Brady. He's in like the Dak Prescott range for me. So he's like, where do you have Dak?
I don't have Dak in front of me. Let me see. You keep talking. I'll tell you.
Okay. Because he's in that range for me where it's like, he's in that next tier.
I have Dak as QB 10. So.
Okay. I think we're just the opposite. Right, I think I have Stafford 9 and Dak either like 10 or 11. But he's in that tier for me. And you look at it, we have, again, this the one of the huge reasons we do this podcast is to plug a bunch of the amazing FTN stats. And one of the ones for passing we have is that, you know, the charting team charted how many highlight passes quarterbacks made last year, which are pretty much defined as perfectly placed passes where only the receiver can make the play on the ball. And Stafford had 36 of those passes, tied for the fifth most in the NFL behind Burrow, Allen, Brady, and Rodgers. You mentioned the air yards were pretty much elite. And the other thing with Stafford, like, I don't know how much that changes this year because I look at this team and they don't have the greatest after the catch players, but like he was well outside the top like 15 in percentage of passing yards coming after the catch. So like everything that Stafford did was obviously Cooper Kupp getting open at will, but a lot of it was just him placing the ball perfectly where the receivers got open or he threw them open. So like if he gets anything added after the catch for this from this offense, he still has top five upside, 41 touchdowns. I don't know how repeatable that is, but like it'll tie into the running back situation. Like if they don't get, 100% back of what Cam Akers used to be, maybe they do lean on the pass more, right? I mean, like this team is like over the past 5 or 6 years, pretty much since Sean McVay's been there, I guess, they've actually been pretty run heavy inside the 5 yard line, but that kind of changed last season. And I think it could continue to be, a team that you just say, okay, we have Stafford, we have Allen Robinson, we have Cooper Kupp. We're just going to throw the ball because they have those plays where like Cooper Kupp comes in motion. It's kind of like Devontae Adams-esque last year where it's like, you can't guard him. And he's just, it's like an easy 2 yard touchdown. So Stafford for me, pretty easily, like, it's interesting too on Underdog because it's very difficult to get Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, to get Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, a little bit easier to get that stack. But like Stafford is easy to, he goes, in that quarterback 9 to 12 range. Kupp obviously is a top 3 overall selection, but then it's like Allen Robinson you can get, who knows, Odell Beckham, Van. So like I do have a lot of Stafford right now and I'm perfectly fine with it. He had 7 different games with 300 passing yards or more. He had at least 3 touchdowns in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different games. Like, just the floor is pretty solid. It's not quite as high because he's going to run for what? Maybe he ran for 43 yards last year. So, like, but
43.
Right. Like, it's just that obviously is why he's not being ranked consistently as a top 5 quarterback. But like I said, after the tier, the first two tiers. Like, I can't remember where we had him in our quarterback tiers when we did the preview, but I'm going to assume it was, tier 3? Depending on if we had, like, Josh and Allen in a tier of his own. But, like, I'm perfectly fine if I miss out on those quarterbacks. Like, I think I feel better about Stafford than I do Wilson, Rodgers, and Dak Prescott.
All right, that's fair. Maybe minus Dak, but I'll let it slide.
I did do an underdog draft yesterday, and I got the Dak CD stack and I tried to get a double stack because I had Devontae Adams and Darren Waller and Renfro. And the worst thing ever is when you're in a draft and there's a team that clocks out and they get auto picked a quarterback.
Oh, yes.
And Derek Carr went 3 spots before me. So I was lucky to still have Dak, but I would have liked to have both. Let's go to the running back position because dude, there's always players, a handful of players where it's like, I try to make sure I can make a case or understand the scenario or what I can expect from every player in fantasy, right? Like that's what I like to do. But there's always players where it's like, I don't know what to expect. Cam Akers is in that range for me. Like, I don't know. I think Cam Akers could be a top 7 running back. I wouldn't be surprised if he finished top 5. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like RB22. It really just depends on, his health. He obviously didn't have any setbacks when he came back last season. And when he came back, it kind of coincided with Daryl Henderson being hurt. So, like, they pretty much gave him, like, a 75-80% snap share for the majority of the games, including the playoffs. The numbers weren't great, but he also faced the Bengals, who are a really good run defense in terms of yards per carry. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are always elite in terms of run defense. So, they faced some good run defense during that playoff stretch. San Francisco, great defensive front. They probably have one of the best front sevens in football. So what do you expect from Cam Akers? What's the ceiling? What's the floor like? Because I'm be honest with you, I'm kind of torn. He's like my RB 17, 18 right now. And I know that feels low. I just don't have a firm grasp on what to expect.
Yeah, I have him ranked as QB 19. So I'm actually in the same boat as you. It sounds like I might even like him a little bit less. But if you are an upside chaser, for his cost in that range, there's probably not another running back. Maybe like Javonte Williams. I don't know where his ADP has landed.
It's yeah, Javonte is like going like RB
14, 13.
Yeah, I was
going to
say
yeah.
14, 13. Like, it's a good
Akers
point.
Is
because,
a little cheaper.
Yeah, it's a great point with upside because Cam Akers goes right around Zeke. And then he goes a little bit ahead of like Jacobs, Gibson, Dobbins, ETN.
Right.
I think
I like Akers, ETN out of that group, and then and Akers too.
Right. I think Akers like has the highest ceiling just because
he does
the offense he's in, and from what we saw in terms of the snap share, like if he gets a similar snap share, and we've seen the Rams, right? Whether it's been Todd Gurley getting like they've wanted to use one running back. Darrell Henderson was like an 85% snap share player before the injury, and then dealt with a couple injuries. There were stretches where he got hurt in games and it was everybody's like, okay, this stinks. And he would come back or be back the next week. But like when Sony Michel came in, 90% of the snaps he would play. Akers came back and played the playoffs, played the majority of the snaps. So they do want to feature one running back.
They do. And you and I often say this, like at a certain point, we just need to like listen to what the team is trying to tell us. And I feel like they've been trying to tell us Cam Akers is our guy and he's our feature back. Going back to 2020, when he like first really started to come onto the scene, in week 13 of that year, he had 24 touches and then 31 touches. And then he played a partial game. He had 16 touches, got hurt that game. And then he came back for week 17, 25 touches. And then he missed an entire year. And he comes back, his very first game back, 30 touches, 19, 19, 27, like... That type of volume is huge. So I like him where he's going as a, you know, as an upside chaser, but the concerns are legitimate. My problem with it is like, how much of it is recency bias? Because the playoffs were pretty brutal, right? He had fewer than 60 rushing yards every game. You know, despite all the volume, he didn't score a touchdown in any of the four playoff games. But if you look at his final two games or at his two games he played in the regular season, he had over 200 rushing yards in two games. He scored a touchdown in both games. He had 45 receiving yards in one of the games. He scored a 2-point conversion in one of the games. Like, how much of our distaste for him is just the recency bias of the playoffs? And I'm willing to bet that a lot of it is.
Yeah. And you look at some of the, you know, in 2021, right, there was, you know, like the snaps, right? This has room to grow. And the opening wild card game, what was that against Arizona? He played about 53% of snaps. A, keep in mind, that game also was kind of out of hand. But, like, he played 53% of snaps, still had almost 20 touches. Then the next round, 81% of snaps had, what do you say, like 30 touches almost. Like,
right.
This is a situation where it's like, I think Akers is good. Do I think he's great? I don't know. But I also don't think it matters. If he's getting 80% of snaps, like Darrell Henderson was not an insanely efficient running back last season, but he was like the RB 13, 14, 12-ish range before he got hurt last year. He was like his first game of the season, he's played 94% of snaps. He was in the 85 to 90% snap rate pretty much every game until he started to deal with injuries. And then he missed some time. And then bam, Sony Michel immediately 90% of snaps. So if Akers continues to get the role that these starting running backs for the Rams have gotten, there's no reason he can't be like, there could be like, if he gets this role, RB 17 is admittedly going to be way too low on my end.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit worried about with that ranking, but I still worry about the Achilles. I know he came back and it was great, but he also came back incredibly early and I don't care about yards per carry. I could care less. I care about just watching him. And there wasn't a ton of great burst. But again, like, how much should we really be expecting coming back from that injury? Now he has an entire offseason to train and get back to full strength, hopefully. I don't know, man. Like, I'll talk about Darrell Henderson, too, because I do think he's a value. But, like, Akers, Zeke, Etienne, Gibson, Jacobs, like, where would you, like, I have Akers, I think, second behind Zeke of that range. Like, there's no shot I'm taking Jacobs or Gibson over him.
Let me just pull it up so I'm saying stuff consistent with what I actually have here. I have Zeke, Etienne, and then Akers.
Okay.
It sounds like I like Etienne a lot more than you.
I like Etienne. I just, like, he's right behind Cam Akers for me.
Yeah.
I just think Akers has a better shot of getting 25 touches in a game.
He does. Yeah.
But Akers, like, Etienne could get, like, the Swift type touches that are extremely high value. So there's that.
Right.
Let's talk about Darrell Henderson, though, because this time last season, he went from, like, I remember doing the drafts on Underdog in the summer. He was, like, in the range that I'm trying to think of running back now that goes where he was going before Cam Akers' injury. He was, like, in the, I don't know, Ramondre Stevenson type range, right? Maybe a little bit later than that. And then the Akers injury happened. He bumped up to, like, a fourth round. Because
everyone
pick.
Was drafting Akers, like, at the end of the first round.
Yeah. He was literally, like, a turn type selection. And then the injury happened. And then obviously, if you drafted Darrell Henderson, you did a lot of drafts early and had Henderson in the, you know, 12th round, a lot of those teams probably advanced. Henderson, again, like I mentioned, first game of the season, 94% of the snaps. He was in that range pretty much all season until the injuries happened. He wasn't the most efficient running back, but, like, again, I don't know if it matters. I still think, especially after Sonny Michel leaves and now is in Miami, like, Henderson is kind of getting overlooked because there's still a chance that Akers just isn't quite back. And while I don't know if they go with, like, a committee approach at running back, there's a chance that Henderson just has a starting role at some point this season. Plus, like, it didn't come to fruition, but there was a stretch last season where Sean McVay was talking about the importance of having two running backs when Sonny Michel was playing well, unlimited carries behind Henderson. Who's to say Henderson doesn't get, you know, like 6 to 8 touches a game? And then obviously, like, we talk about Alexander Mattison being the best backup running back, Tony Pollard and AJ Dillon more in standalone.
Henderson is in that group.
I agree. He should be. I think he's behind them, but, like, the Rams of those teams have the best offense. So why shouldn't we be talking about Darrell Henderson more?
Yeah, we should be. He kind of goes in, like, the RB 45 to 50 range. So he's very cheap. It's about 150th overall. So where does that end up being, like, 13th round or something like that? Henderson is a player. You mentioned the offense. If something happens to Akers, first of all, he might have some standalone value, like you said, but then if something happens to Akers, he goes into a role where he's going to see about 20 touches per game with, I would say, probably 65% chance of scoring a touchdown in any given week. Last year, when he was the starter, he pretty handily saw a roughly 60% of the team's rushing attempts, but he also had 5-target game, a 6-target game, another 6-target game. Was adding roughly 30 yards through the air in those games. And he scored a touchdown in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the team's first 7 games.
He looked like he was the, like, league winning running back to start the season.
Actually, he scored 7 total touchdowns in the team's first 7 games. So he scored a touchdown per game. Yeah, I mean, the role is awesome. That's part of the reason why we like Akers, but we're also scared about Akers for certain reasons. All the reasons to like Akers are the same reasons to like Henderson. I think he's a great, like, zero RB target, 100%.
Yeah, like, he looked like he was going to be a potential league-winning candidate, and, like, I know he was going earlier, later in the summer, obviously, but still, like, he looked like he was not just going to be, like, a good value, but, like I said, like, weeks 1 to 12, he was the RB13 in fantasy, and that was with him missing, I believe, 1 or 2 games. Yeah, that was 10 games, so, like, you look at an example, like, Eckler had 11. Like, he missed a game during that stretch, and he was still the RB13 in fantasy, right behind Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara. His points per game weren't quite as high as some of those players, but, like, just under 16 fantasy points per game, which was actually ahead of Aaron Jones, right around where Nick Chubb was, right under Dalvin Cook. So Darrell Henderson, again, he's not quite on the level of Madison, Pollard, and Dillon, especially because Pollard and Dillon have standalone value. We don't know exactly if Henderson will.
Right.
But I believe he should be right next in that next tier up. Like he's somebody that I've been moving up just because, like, while he wasn't the most efficient running back, he was like 25th in yards per touch. Like, he didn't break a lot of long runs and a lot of tackles. He converted touchdowns. He was good in pass protection, and he was good in the offense. So, like, if there's any weeks where Cam Akers is inactive, Darrell Henderson is going to be at worst a top 15 running back for you. So, any thoughts on Kyren Williams before we move on? Like, they added him, already dealing with a little bit of injury, had an awful pro day, which really hurt him, especially being an undersized running back to start with. Maybe he siphons off some pass catching or some pass, you know, third down snaps, because that's really where he's best at. But any thoughts on him?
To be honest, I don't even have him ranked. Maybe
yeah,
I
don't think I do either. It's just more of like, would he impact? I don't think he impacts Henderson or
I don't think so.
Akers at all, really. So, all right, let's move to wide receiver, where there's a lot to talk about. Cooper Kupp, I don't know if you heard, he had a good season last year. wasn't bad. Arguably the best ever. It's tough too, because he had the extra game. But still, I mean, 145 catches, almost 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns. Just 18 yards shy of Calvin Johnson's single season record. Second most in history of the league in terms of receptions. Like, if you went up against Cooper Kupp in a week, it was like, please just score 18 to 20 points. That's all. Like, don't get to 25, 26. He averaged 25 PPR points per game. Had at least 20 fantasy points in all but three games. 100 receiving yards in 11 of 17 contests. And I think he had 100 yards or a touchdown in almost every game. Like, it was insane what he did. We haven't seen anything like this. And you can really attribute it all to breakfast. Like, thank goodness for breakfast. It really is the most important meal of the day.
Dude, I don't think I need to like throw a bunch of stats as to what makes
you
Kupp
don't,
so amazing,
but it's fun.
But I just have one to add. He had 100. So his 191 targets, 145 receptions, whatever. You just went through all the amazing stats. The one that impresses me the most was the 16 touchdowns. Like that, if he scored no touchdowns, he still would have been an amazing fantasy player with that many receptions and that many yards. And then he led the league in touchdowns pretty handily. So Kupp's role in the offense is not just like a chain mover. He's like Wes Welker, but on steroids, because he's got the red zone usage. He had the most red zone targets last year of any wide receiver. He had the fourth most end zone targets. So while standing in the end zone, he gets targeted, and the fourth most end zone touchdowns. So converting those to touchdowns. Just that role is so incredibly valuable to him. And Allen Robinson is there. Maybe he ends up seeing some of those targets, but it's so damn effective that I don't think the Rams changed that role for him. He's just such a mismatch, and he just is like automatically open all the time. So I don't think Kupp is going to match his numbers from last year, but he's still going to be the best wide receiver in fantasy, I think.
Yeah, and we talked about this with the wide receiver preview. Like, after the Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill trades, it's just way easier to cement Cooper Kupp as the clear wide receiver one. I think the only receiver I could even make an argument for that could surpass him is Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that. Again, if you missed out on or if you're new, the previews for each position we did were really fantastic. So go back and check those out. Cooper Kupp's target share by week. This is fun. 38%. 37, 31, 31, 28, 40, 31, 26, 27, 31. He didn't have any targets in week 11. They had a bye, so that's why. 25, 27, 50, 44, 35, 20, 21, and the playoffs, 38, 30, 33, 25.
That's unreal.
Stupid numbers. And again, regression is a pretty popular word in the fantasy community. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is going to regress. He's not going to be this good. He's not going to be better. If he is, he's the best receiver of all time. But I just don't see an argument for many receivers to be drafted anywhere near him outside of Justin Jefferson. He's, again, the rapport he has with Stafford is unmatched. And
you want to know my favorite Cooper Kupp stat?
What's up?
If Cooper Kupp caught 25 touchdowns last year, he still wouldn't have been as good as Christian McCaffrey in 2019.
There it is. There it is. Do you know Christian McCaffrey has missed games though, Tyler?
Yeah. Apparently he's the only running back that has ever been hurt.
Let's go to Allen Robinson, who you mentioned, I tweeted about again yesterday. I'm all in on Allen Robinson. And I thought I was going to be the highest among some of the, you know, the rankers here at FTN. Nelson Souza has him like 15. I thought I was higher than him at like 21, 22. I mentioned the stat when we were talking about the receiver preview, but Robert Woods, he was kind of looked at as a massive bust, a massive disappointment last season. Got hurt after week 9, tore his ACL in practice after week 9. Prior to that, he was the wide receiver 12 in fantasy. He was around 15 PPR points per game. Allen Robinson, I understand some of the yards per route numbers were down. Some of the overall metrics were down last season. Again, the situation was terrible. He had like 4 different quarterbacks at one point. The play calling was terrible in Chicago. And he looked checked out for a lot of it. And then I tweeted a couple of the highlights from him. Like, he's still good. I don't care about how old he is now. Allen Robinson, for me, is a clear top 24 receiver. I have him ahead of Jalen Waddle. I have him ahead of DK Metcalf. I have him ahead of a handful of receivers that a lot of people just have higher. And I get it. Like, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But here's my thing with Allen Robinson. And you know this. You've been in the industry for a while and doing fantasy for a while. How many years have we gone into a season saying, oh my goodness, we project Allen Robinson in the final line of every piece of analysis is, imagine if he had a quarterback. This is not just the best quarterback by far of his NFL career. This is the best quarterback he's ever had in his life. And it's not even just like it's an upgrade. He's going from a handful of quarterbacks. Again, I love Justin Fields. I think he's going to be a star. But even before that, like Blake Bortles and Trubisky and Dalton and Foles, like, it's not just going from quarterbacks in that range to like the 14th best quarterback. He's going to quarterbacks in that range to a legitimate top 7 or 8 quarterback in the NFL. So if we've been waiting this long for Allen Robinson to finally have a great quarterback, why are we not all in on him?
So I have him ranked as my my wide receiver 23.
All right, so you're right there with me.
I'm kind of right there with you. I'm a little nervous about it just because last year was so bad. Like, there's really... I feel like you were softening the blow a little bit. You were like, yeah, I understand some of the metrics were down. All of the metrics were down. There's literally nothing you can look at last year and be like, oh, Allen Robinson is good in terms of data. But I did look, we look at our first read targets, and this is on the advanced receiving stats tool at FTN Fantasy. Robinson only had 53 first read targets last year, which is a really low number.
It's tough to get targets when you're playing next to the god Darnell Mooney, to be fair. And that's not even sarcasm. Like, Darnell Mooney is the truth.
There were 5 wide receivers on the Rams that had at least 53 first read targets last year. So not only is he going from like a really low volume passing offense to a much higher volume passing offense, he's also going to a quarterback that will spread the ball around. Yes, Cooper Kupp is there. Kupp had 159 first read targets, but there was still enough for Van Jefferson to have 71. Tyler Higbee to have 69, Odell Beckham to have 69, and Robert Woods to have 53. So if you take, you know, Woods and Beckham combined and say that's going to be the Allen Robinson role, I know it's not going to be exactly, but I mean, is 80, 90, 100 first read targets out of the question? I don't think so. So I just, the situation he's going to is so much better. You talked about it. And I still think Robinson is good. So that's why I'm taking a little bit of a leap of faith to rank him as a low-end wide receiver too. But that's really just what I look at. Like, why were his stats so down last year? He just wasn't part of the offense. Like, he just wasn't game planned for. 53 first-read targets for a player that played every single game. Sorry, not every single game. He only played 12 games. But it's still the majority of the season, only 53 first-read targets in an extremely low-volume offense. I really cannot stress enough how good of an upgrade this is for him in terms of situation.
Yeah, I just think the situation was terrible, like you said, and I think that played a part of Robinson's overall play. I think he's going to be just completely ready to go in this Rams offense. And again, like some of the clips I tweeted last night, is Allen Robinson a top 10 receiver in the NFL? No. But I don't think he's outside the top. You know, I still think he's a top 20 guy. I still think he's really talented, and I'm all in. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But like, Robert Woods, who, you know, I am the number one Robert Woods fan on the planet. I think Allen Robinson is at worst the same skill level. I think he's a better overall receiver in terms of route running everything. But I think Robert Woods fits their offense better with what he did run blocking and with the ability to take jet sweeps. But overall as a receiver, Allen Robinson is, if at worst, he's just as good as Robert Woods. Like, you can't sit here and tell me that Robinson, like Robert Woods, is like this massive upgrade, as much as I love Robert Woods. So I'm all in on Robinson. Absolutely.
We have a stat called created receptions, which is basically difficult catches that require, you know, the wide receiver to make an incredible play. Robinson had 5 created catches, which was more than any other player on the Bears, despite seeing half as many targets as Mooney and fewer targets than Cole Kmet. So basically that's the one stat I can look at and be like, yeah, Robinson is still a playmaker.
Yeah. And like, some of those were from the videos I sent out yesterday. Like, they were plays like that. Like, that was the same amount as Cooper Kupp. Not saying he's better than Cooper Kupp, but it's the same amount. Same amount as Keenan Allen. Same amount as Metcalf. Same amount as T. Higgins. Same amount as Jalen Waddle. Same as Deontay Johnson. So I love Robinson. I've drafted him so much. I probably need to stop just in case I'm wrong. But I don't think I will be. I think Robinson's going to have a massive season. Let's talk about the rest of his receivers, because Odell Beckham, I think he could be on the team at some point. We don't know yet. So let's talk about Van Jefferson, who I think has some sneaky appeal in, you know, best ball drafts, because he gets targeted down the field and he's the number 3 on this team. Which, do you love targeting number 3 receivers on passing games? Not necessarily, but if it's the right offense, you do. That's why I love Tyler Boyd. And that's why Van Jefferson is at least appealing here, because he's going to get targets down the field, especially with Stafford. You mentioned Stafford was, what, 3rd in air yards last season. If I'm not mistaken, yep. Van Jefferson had a ton of air yards as well, given, you know, for somebody that was targeted as I don't want to say as little as he was, but no, nowhere near the elite in terms of targets.
I have it in front of me. He ranked in the top 25 in air yards. He had 1,119, and he was one of only 2 wide receivers that had fewer than 100 targets, but ranked in the top 25 in air yards. The only other one was Cortland Sutton.
It's a good stat. Yeah, that's best ball. That's literally best ball to a T.
It is. And the players right around Jefferson in air yards: CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Chase Claypool. So in terms of potential damage done, Jefferson he's up there significantly. He only costs maybe late 12th, 13th round pick in best ball right now. And I really like doing it, especially if you were talking about stacks. Like, if you land one of the early picks, yeah, you go Kupp and then you go Stafford, then you can pretty easily get Jefferson and then OBJ if you want to like spend your final round pick on him as a total flyer. It's risky, but then you end up with like a complete Rams stack. It's probably one of the easiest stacks to like fully complete start to finish, if you're able to get Kupp. But like, once Kupp's in the bag, the rest are easy. So from that perspective, I like Jefferson. I drafted Jefferson all the time last year. I think I had like 35% exposure to him. Got a little bit lucky, I think, with like Robert Woods going down, anything like that. But Jefferson is going to have the same role this year. Really, the only wild card is, does Beckham come back? Because that would hurt Jefferson significantly. Yep.
But again, if he does, like, Super Bowl injury, like, he's going to miss time. So, and Van Jefferson, 6th in the NFL last season in yards before the catch per reception at 11.7. He was top 15 in average depth of target. And like, we talk about this with backup running backs, right? It's like, if the starter gets hurt, like, he's going to be awesome in fantasy. Van Jefferson's, he's not going to be amazing in fantasy, but like, if Robinson misses time or Cooper Kupp misses time, like, Jefferson's going to slide in as a number 2 receiver on an elite offense led by Stafford. So there's upside in that as well. But he's also like, there's going to be enough 3 wide receiver sets. So I like Van Jefferson and Darrell Henderson as 2 players that we talked about in this team alone, that when you're chasing upside in the double digit rounds, like, why not chase upside in a team that's going to have a top, at worst, top 7 offense. So I definitely like Van Jefferson as a late receiver as well. We'll see what happens if Odell Beckham's back. We'll revisit that if we have to. Let's close out with tight end, because this time last season, Tyler, I had no interest in Tyler Higbee. I thought he was a trap. He was getting a lot of hype with Gerald Everett gone. And I was like, I don't see it, because they haven't fully utilized him as a full-time player. He would run block a ton on a team that still wants to run the football. Again, that was before, you know, the Cam Akers injury and everything. And week one, I thought it was going to be a terrible call on my part because I was doing like the week after review kind of analysis. And I looked and I saw Tyler Higbee played like 90%+ of the snaps. And I was like, okay, he's going to be a full-time player. He had, I think, five for 68, which is respectable. But then he was just pretty up and down and mostly down. Like he was kind of the real, he was the one that really suffered from Cooper Kupp just getting all the targets because their game plan was Kupp, Woods when he was active, and then Henderson or whoever the running back was. And Higbee was just, for the most part, an afterthought. Like he had one double-digit target game. He had multiple games under three targets. He's probably going to have a similar role. I know Kevin O'Connell's gone, but there's just nobody else there to take snaps away from him. My problem is he going to be targeted on those snaps?
So Higbee is a player. I have him ranked tight end 21. So,
oh, wow. So
basically to me, that just means like, I'm not interested. He's a player that I would be comfortable with if it came down to it, like putting him in as a bye week filler. I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, like you can probably safely expect 5 targets from him any given week and it'll result in maybe 30 to 50 yards. So he's not going to give you a goose egg, but just like the ceiling is not there for him. He scored a touchdown in only 4 games last year, but one of them was in week 18. So it was completely useless for fantasy. He maxed out at 69 yards. So he never topped 70 yards. Just, you know, in PPR leagues, if you're desperate and you want a guy that's going to catch maybe 4 balls for 40 yards and you don't get a zero, that's to me what Higbee is. I guess the only upside is that if something were to happen to Cooper Kupp or something like that. So not a lot of interest in Higbee for me. I just don't think there's just so many other tight ends. We've talked about this. Oh, tight ends deep this year. But, you know, Higbee's not one of those players that I would throw into the group of, oh, tight ends deep this year.
Yeah, he was 9th among all tight ends in both routes run and snaps on passing plays. So, like, the playing time, and I talk about this a lot with tight ends, like, that's...
Playing time's good.
Right, like, that's what we look for. We want players that are going to run routes. We want players in good offenses. So, like, from that standpoint of, like, situation and usage and involved and, like, you know, scheme fit and all that stuff, like, he fits the bill. It's just he is also competing for targets with the number one target in the NFL right now as a player that I believe in, Allen Robinson. So he's going to have some weeks. Again, it's tight end. Like, I think you could do worse than Tyler Higbee, but, you know, so I don't know how much his playing time can go up and his routes can go up from last year. Like I mentioned, like he was an every down player and he didn't get it done. So maybe if he walks into some, and maybe if you look at it, okay, Cooper Kupp's going to regress in a huge way naturally. And then maybe Higbee gets a little bit of that. Okay. Maybe like, but it's
kind of like,
it's tough.
He's kind of like, to me, he's kind of like Dawson Knox, but minus half the touchdown potential.
Yeah. Because like, again, it's tougher with tight end because it's for so many players after the elite tier, it's pretty much touchdown or bust anyway. But like,
yeah,
Knox is, he was in that same mold. If he didn't score, he was pretty bad in fantasy. And that's probably going to be the case for Higbee and a lot of tight ends as well. It's not just Tyler Higbee, but like the fact that he was 9th in routes run, 9th in passing snaps at tight end still was underwhelming. Like,
but only, yeah, he was 17th in yards despite, you know, all that opportunity. So, yeah,
so
not like a horrible filler. That's just how I view
him. You could do better. You could do worse at tight end.
Right, right.
Anything else from the Los Angeles Rams? Again, probably should have led this. Kevin O'Connell now coaching the Minnesota Vikings, but still, Sean McVay is there. The entire team is pretty much there. They added Robinson. They added Bobby Wagner. So their defense should still be pretty good. And there's no reason this team can't get back to the Super Bowl. I mean, the NFC is pretty bad outside of what? The Rams, Tampa Bay, maybe a couple other teams in this division alone can make a run. I think the Eagles will be good. The Lions are going to make the Super Bowl, according to you. So the Rams probably right there with Tampa Bay as the favorites to make it back to the NFC. Yeah.
My only parting shot on the Rams would be add Daryl Henderson to your zero RB target list. If he's not on it, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Love that call. So NFC West, starting off with the Los Angeles Rams. We'll be back on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday with the rest of the NFC West. And this is a very interesting division, Tyler. We have the San Francisco 49ers are kind of like the most, one of the most polarizing teams in fantasy. I think we're going to do them next. The Cardinals are really interesting now with DeAndre Hopkins suspension, Marquise Brown's there. And then you also have the Seahawks, who the fall off has been ridiculous for them the past 5 or 6 years. So we'll break it all down. Again, these are our team previews here at the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. For Tyler, I'm Adam. We'll see you guys on Tuesday with some more recaps and some more previews of the NFC West.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter @APfeiffer24 and @LochnerNFL.